This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War on the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons, tune in. We're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe.
Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
By a second, let me get MixLR running again. We're ready. Let's get our guest. We're right on time. I'm dialing Tom Mack and Major Tom Baird coming up next. Here we go. Good to be back with y'all, folks. Welcome back. That was a long introduction. I was going to do some speak my word. Do that later. No worries. We got plenty of time. If you're here for the first time, welcome aboard, and I do appreciate you out there that are tuning in. Please invite a friend. Invite a friend to come out. They can catch us live here. OmegaManRadio.com. Of course, is our main website. And just like growing up going to school, a Bible school, not Bible school, but Sunday school and Wednesday night service, they would say, hey, bring some friends back next week with you. We try to invite some people to church. do that and bring a friend out. We need some word of mouth advertising out there. I appreciate y'all that'll do that. Yes, Curly, we are live. I don't do any pre-recorded shows. We are all live. Okay, I'm not hearing anything from our guests. Let me try that again. There we go. Hello, my friend. Let's do a sound check. Major, Professor Tom, rather, can you hear me? Okay, my friend, you got your headset plugged in? Yep, you got to plug that headset in. It's been a long time since we've done a program, so you may have that unplugged. I am ready to roll. So plug that in, then you got to also go into your settings, my friend. Okay, we got to get him back on. He's not ready yet. Let's try the major. Anybody drinking coffee out there? Hey, I'm on the lion diet. But I am drinking coffee. Hey, Professor Tom, can you hear me? I'm not hearing anything, my friend. Make sure your headset's plugged in and go into your settings. And on the microphone and speakers, you got to flick over to that headset. Also, make sure you're not on a mute. Not hearing anything, brother. Okay, let's try Major Barrett again. Folks, I'm 2 months into the lion diet. And then some, a few days extra over that. Hello, guys. Let's do a sound check.
Hello.
There, we got you now, Professor Tom. Major Tom, yes. How you doing?
Oh, wonderful. It's good to hear your voice.
Brother, I was going to say the same. Likewise, very good to hear your voice. Missed you.
Thank you.
What the heck's going on here?
Amen.
Okay, we got
I'm hearing you
Tom.
Very well.
Hello?
Professor Tom? We can hear you, but do you have the program playing in the background? Okay, Professor Tom's having some difficulties. Major Tom, it's great to have you on tonight. You want to open us in prayer?
Oh, yes, sir. Let's pause. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment that we can be together over the airways around the world, even in this troublous times. We thank you, Father, for your hand upon us, leading and guiding us every second of the way. For we know that we can trust in you. Just as Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. For whomever can I trust but you, O God? For you are the only God, the only living God. There is none other. All heaven and earth cannot contain you. We rely on you. You are our refuge. You are our hiding place. And we call upon you now in this time that you would deliver us from evil and harm, and that you would protect us from evil and harm. Lead and guide and direct our thoughts and our words this evening, that what is said will edify and exalt you and prepare us for the times in ahead of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome back. And a quick sound check. Professor Tom, can you hear us okay?
I can hear you guys fine.
You're coming through great.
Okay. Or as they say, 5x5.
Amen.
Gentlemen, I'm going to step back from the mic and turn it over to y'all. Welcome back.
Yes. Since we've been on here, it's been about 2 months almost. And well, it's gotten very interesting in the world. We thought we'd talk about it a little bit tonight. The biggest thing is they call it the Ukraine war. I don't know quite what to call it. You know, it
a probing,
like
a probing action by a nation.
Yes. That would definitely be what they're trying, because one, they have the equivalent of what they would term a Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, what's happening here?
I don't know, but you're coming. You're still coming through 5x5.
Yeah, Major Tom, Professor Tom, I can hear you both. Okay, Professor Tom may be having some trouble. Okay, we'll work
through
that.
Hello, Tom.
I kicked him, so we'll let him reboot and come back in.
Oh, okay, sure.
Why don't I throw it to you, my brother? What's the Lord put on your heart?
Well, one of the things that is quite obvious is that the news pundits and the commentators, the military commentators, by and large, are following a party line. They're not really, it's total baloney. Starts with a B and ends with an S. And there's a Colonel McGregor whose military commentary and analysis and assessment is right on as far as I can see. I agree. Tom has listened to him. He agrees. And actually, Roy Potter is the one that put me onto him. And I can trust the judgment of assessment. Now, I don't trust some of the things that Roy Potter says. His theology and mine don't match. But as far as military assessment and current event assessment, he's spot on as well. We have a chess, and when Tom comes on, he can probably enlighten us more on this. What we have before us is a power vacuum that's been created by none other than our principal leader, wonderful Joe Biden.
And
his
back.
Ineptness. Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, you're 5 by 5. I hear you well.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear
sir.
Me?
We can hear you, Tom.
Tom?
Hello, Tom.
Tom.
Okay, I did find out Brother Tom Mack is on a cell phone tonight, so his internet is having issues. Well, I apologize. We'll proceed. Keep going, Brother Beards.
Okay. essentially, we've got a power vacuum that's going on right now, and power abhors a vacuum.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, there you go. I can hear you well. Are you there? Can you
I don't know. I think we sort of had a bad connection.
Oh, okay.
Well, keep on going, Major Baird.
Okay. And in the middle of this, when you have, on the international scene particularly, when you have no leadership in the world that can say, this is what has to happen, this does not have to happen or will not happen, and there's no strong leadership there, you're going to have every power broker in the world. Doesn't matter how big the nation is or how small it is, whether it's little Israel or whether it's China or India or Russia or United States or United Kingdom, they're all going to try to vie. And of course, the leadership of the United States is so blinded by their own puffed up pride that they don't even see they have lost the initiative and the leadership of the world. They don't perceive that. And so they're bumping along, assuming that they can make the decisions and everybody will fall in lockstep behind them, and that they can bully themselves around and take issue with anybody, offend everybody, and be as arrogant as Sam Hill. And that's exactly what they are. The problem with that is that you will make many mistakes, and some of those will be fatal, not only to your own nation and possibly your own neck, but you'll be fatal all the way around the world, and you will embroil the world in a conflagration that is described in the Bible. You cannot find any analysis that will be accurate unless you use the Bible first, because it tells us exactly what's going to happen. God does not lie. That's the one thing you have to understand. God does not lie. When he says there is a sin, that this is such and such, and I will name one, homosexuality is a sin, and God calls it that, what God calls it, it is. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes unto the Father, the Almighty God of the universe, no one comes before him except through Christ. And it's been spoken that way. The interesting thing about it is when he said, I am the way happens to be above the law. By the way, it supersedes the law because that's just the way it is. You can argue with it all day long, but when push comes to shove and the very end analysis and the end event, it's going to happen whether you agree with it or not. So your agreement and your belief in it is immaterial. It is the way, and if you want to be correct in what you're doing, follow it. If you want to be destroyed, as it says you will be if you rebel and do not follow it, there is no other way. You can be without knowledge of Christ, but you will still pass through Christ before you get to God. That's just the way it is. Can you argue with gravity when you have just jumped out of an airplane? I can tell you that practicing to jump out of an airplane, no. Gravity is going to attract you to the surface of the earth, whether you want to be or not. Depending upon how high you are above that surface, depends upon how big of a splash you make. It's the same way with God. Depending upon how far away you are from God and from Christ, determines the amount of end result in hell you find yourself in, and finally, eventually, into the lake of fire and brimstone forever. It's just the way it is. Now, we have things going on in our world right now that are happening so fast that even I find myself almost as if my head is spinning. It's almost as if I have been given a preparatory order to be prepared and to get my unit prepared to launch an attack, a coordinated attack. That's called a warning order in the infantry. I think everybody else calls it the same thing. I'm not sure whether the Marines do or not. But essentially, it's a heads up. And when you get that warning order, you get your ammunition that's probably been locked up in a bunker. You get all of your weapons unlocked out of the armory. Everybody's issued their particular serial number to weapon. And you were issued your initial basic load. And you begin to load, if it's a clip, you load your clips. If it's a magazine, you load your magazines. You get everything ready, all of your gear that you're going to need, all the clothing that you're going to need for the next 24 hours. And if longer, 106 and so on hours. Nevertheless, you prepare. And what's happening is before that warning order, you're getting a secondary warning order with a change saying, prepare for this as well. And you're getting a third warning order, prepare for this as well, because events are happening so rapidly. When the last time that we were on air 2 months ago, there was not a rumor that we would have a probing action, an international probing action in the Ukraine by Russia, attempting to find out just what the boundaries are. And essentially what you're looking at is Russia is not really invading in full force Ukraine. They have gone in there very slowly, very methodically, and the only reason you would do that is to try to keep the civilian casualties at a minimum. Very obviously, his stated objective was to reconnect with the hearts and minds of the Ukraine people. Now, he has two provinces that are on the east side of the Ukraine that are primarily Russian ethnic origin. And so they're welcoming them. It so happens that I'm not sure what the day was. Was it the 24th of March that the offensive began? I think it was the 24th. Did you know that on the 25th was the day that the Ukrainian forces had determined to be the execution date of invading the eastern two provinces and committing total genocide? And by coming in on the 24th, and this is hard and fast. This is actually open source intelligence, by the way. I'm not disclosing anything that's classified. It probably has been classified, and it's in their inner circles. But at the same time, it's well known. Putin had wind of it 3 months prior. He was watching that particular thing, because when you receive intelligence, it may be a very reliable source. It may seem to be that it's going to be right on that day. But you never know, because intelligence is very, very fluid. It's on again, off again. It's a planning that we might do it. We're going to do it. No, we're not going to do it kind of a thing. And so he's watching it, and it's coming down to that particular day on the 24th, and he preempted their action. Now, the thing about it is that in preempting it that close, the armed forces of Ukraine were already assembled, which actually made it convenient, because then the two opposing forces were able to face off and have a military confrontation as opposed to civilian confrontation, where all the news pundits are saying, oh, Russia's bogged down. Oh, they're going to run out of food. They're going to run out of ammunition. They're going to run out of parts. They're bogged down. They got only 10 days left of ammunition, and on and on and on, and a bunch of nonsense. After the first 72 hours, actually pretty much after the first 24 hours, the winning role of any conflict is not, it's dependent upon a well-executed plan, yes, but it's not the plan, it's not the operations that's going to ultimately win the conflict. It's going to be supply, 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 supply. We call it logistics in the military. And it's logistics, 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 logistics. You've got to have your repair parts. You've got to have your mechanics on board. You've got to have your replacement parts. You've got to have replacement ammunition for that is expended. You've got to have replacement soldiers for those that are killed. On and on and on and on. And it's all resupply. And if you haven't prepared for it, your army is doomed. Now, having said all that, what we're looking at is a strategic, and Tom, are you there?
I'm here now.
Okay. There's a, you explained it very, very succinctly to me as we were talking earlier in the last couple of weeks. And I'd like you to go ahead and cover that. You know, you're talking about the American.
The thing to understand about a Russian is if he's going to go into Ukraine, he's not going to go in there willy-nilly. He's going to have a plan, and he's going to have his moves planned out many steps in advance. And he's also going to have plan Bs, plan Cs, plan Ds, even down to plan Zs, depending on what the enemy does. And unfortunately, in the West, we don't think that way. We watched, let's go back to World War II for an example. Hitler had a plan A to go into Russia. He goes flying in there, gets to the gates of Moscow, gets to the gates of Leningrad. But winter comes. Hitler hadn't planned for that. The Germans hadn't planned for that. They, in fact, they had very poor logistics. In fact, that would be a problem with them the entire war, because they got very overconfident with their successes in Norway and in France and in Poland. And they didn't realize Russia's a lot bigger country.
And they were overcommitted.
Mm-hmm. And suddenly they get to Moscow, they stall. And Stalin, on the other hand, he's the chess player. He realizes he's got to take a beating, and he realizes he's going to lose the Ukraine. He's going to lose White Russia. He's going to lose almost all the land to Moscow. So he sets his defensive perimeter in Moscow and in Leningrad. In his mind, the two most important cities in Russia. And Leningrad would be sieged for 1,000 days, and they still held out. The people still held out. Moscow, on the other hand, I guess a few shells hit the outskirts of Moscow. But for the most part, the armor battle there did not go well for the Germans. And they were forced to pull back a little bit. But at that point, Stalin wasn't quite ready to make his move. He still had to move troops in from the east, because at first he was scared that the Japanese were going to get in the battle, and they'd already lost one war to them. They weren't about to do that again. But once they realized the Japanese were not going to be a threat to them, they sent everybody west. Mm-hmm. And by 1943, they didn't have enough equipment, but they still had enough troops. But they came west, and meanwhile, Hitler decided that, well, I'm going to win this thing by going south, taking the oil fields, which would give him almost an unlimited supply of oil for the rest of the war. He did succeed in taking that. But then he comes to Stalingrad. And by that point in time, Joseph Stalin knows, Marshal Zhukov knows, they have got to make their stand there. And they have to make it no matter how many people they lose. And they would lose. Now it's looking like they lost about 5 million people in Stalingrad. And the Germans lost their entire 6th Army. And by the time that happened, they were finished. Because without a 6th Army, their entire defensive perimeter fell apart. And honestly, the Russians were then ready to make their counterattack. and to take back what they lost. And we saw from 1943 to 45, the Russians taking back everything they lost and moving into East Europe, taking Poland, taking Hungary, taking Czechoslovakia, taking Romania, taking Bulgaria, and moving into Yugoslavia. And into Austria. I forgot that one. And so what we saw was we saw a planned counterattack. And that should tell people, this is how these guys play. They play for the long term. Everything they're doing now is just trappings on the cake. We haven't got to the deep part of the cake yet. And the other thing we don't understand is what Putin wanted out of this operation. One, he wanted to protect Donbass because those are Russian people. That's what he cares about. The second thing was the biolabs. And he's got elite forces called Spetsnaz. And I know some Russian person's going to call me and say, you're not pronouncing it right, but I'm doing my best. But the Spetsnaz are the most efficient operations forces, and they can move anywhere, do anything at any time. They're the hardest trained soldiers in the world. And they have gone around and dismantled all these biolabs that the Obama administration set up in Ukraine. And that, I think, was Mr. Putin's number one concern. He did not want biolabs on his border that could end up killing a lot of his people unnecessarily. And I'm just surprised it took him so long to go after those labs. I don't know. I guess he made some kind of deal with Trump. But once Trump wasn't there anymore, all bets were off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And the other thing, too, is he's got to figure out where those biolabs are. Because I can't imagine the Biden administration's going to tell him.
Yeah. Well, they're fairly well identified as far as that's concerned. So he's been able to finger those and surround those right now. He's got those under control. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that he's also prepared. We are not, but he is prepared to go all out if he needs to. Russia's not afraid to follow through with a first strike nuclear.
Either that, or just with some of their conventional weapons, which are, they've got missile systems that our Patriot missiles can't stop.
No, we have no defense against them whatsoever because they're supersonic. Hypersonic.
Yeah, they're hypersonics, and that we don't have anything even close to stopping that. That's probably going to take some kind of laser or particle beam weapon, and we're sad to say we're years behind on that.
Yeah,
unless I think somebody in the private sector has come up with something.
Well, the Israelis have just begun to field their version of the laser cannon to replace their Patriot batteries and the other, because it'll reach out not only short range but long range as well. So we've got that particular scenario, and then we've got the problem with the bellicoseness of NATO and the corruption of the nations in NATO. And we have this superimposed facade of a one-world government, Western style. And essentially, you've got two. You've got a one-world government, Eastern style, with Russia and China and India.
India, Saudi Arabia, and even Japan's talking about getting in.
Yeah, Japan and possibly even South Africa. So you've got that particular group, and then you've got the West with its particular version. And somewhere along the line, all you've got to do is have a overconfident, bellicose, political, military leader overstep his bounds, and he'll embroil the entire world. And if we're looking at things biblically, that's essentially what we're going to be seeing. God is told, chapter 6, read chapter 6 of Revelation. The first horse we have already seen unleashed is called the pandemic. And he's going around to conquering and to conquer. But he's doing it on a level of pharmakia. And actually, that's one of the words that's actually in that particular verse.
Mm-hmm. And because the thing that's interesting is that word bow is.
Yes.
That word bow. Because it's really curious when you read it. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have a bow, shouldn't you have arrows? Not if that bow is a toxin.
That's right.
And
in fact, it does say it's a toxin.
And the thing that's interesting is we see toxin there. And I'm sure John Mark did not understand what he was writing. In fact, to him, he looks at it, a bow, where's the arrows? And mm-hmm. But being a good scribe, he writes it the way he's told. And because you are dealing with the Almighty Yahuwah, creator of the universe, you do what you're told.
You'll understand later.
Yeah. And the trouble is, he didn't understand later. We've only just found who may understand later. And mm-hmm. In some ways, I pray that there's something they can do about it. But I've seen here where Vladimir Putin is doing something about it. Because he doesn't need that horse riding in Russia. Because of Russians start getting hammered by COVID or anything else they create, his rule is over. Because Russia is not necessarily the most stable political entity in the world. We have to remember how Khrushchev finally was dumped. We have to remember how Stalin was dumped. Both of them, you thought they could, they would stay there till he died. No, they were both upended in sort of a Soviet-style coup. Brezhnev, same way. Andropov. And Gorbachev. Leadership in Russia is not leadership like any other place in the world. And we have not done a very good job of anticipating when these changes are going to be made. Because I'm sure that the CIA assessed that Stalin would be in there into the 60s, even though they did know that he was sick with cancer. And our CIA found that out. Because when he visited the U.S. the one time he did, well, our CIA happened to get a urine and feces sample. And they quick took it to a medical lab and found out. But Khrushchev, in the late 60s, he was starting to get sick too. But he didn't just die. He was taken out. And Brezhnev came in. Brezhnev, Kosygin, and I can't remember the third one in that.
You know, gentlemen, I think that if Putin were to back off now, they would take him out. He's got to go all the way. If he doesn't, he's going to lose face. How will he ever live down that the Ukrainians ran him out of Dodge? I mean, Russia is a nuclear superpower, I think the superpower in the world. And as you and I were talking about earlier today, Brother Mac, they think ahead about 20 years. They've got their long-term
yes.
plans. They don't think in just reactionary mode. I may not be popular with this, but I'm rooting for Russia. And let me qualify that. I think they're the only thing right now that can slow down the New World Order. We've got a wicked world government out there that's trying to pull this great reset. They're not backing down. They fully expect to transition us, but Russia. Now, I know Russia has other plans, and includes a bullseye in America. And I pray that that doesn't happen right now. But you know what? Somebody's got to humble the West. We're a bit cocky.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing mm-hmm. some wicked things on a global scale. Okay? Somebody's got to humble these people. And I think a good dose of humbling would be good for our country right now and this New World Order empire. Sadly, ultimately, they push forward with their plans and they're going to launch that Mark of the Beast. But who's going to launch it? It's not Russia. I believe America is dead center at the launch of the Mark of the Beast program. And look, I'm an American patriot, okay? My father was drafted during NAM. My grandfather retired with the Air Force. I worked for the U.S. Army for 6.5 years. I love my country. I would fight to defend it. But I don't like what it's become right now. I don't like the wickedness that has taken control of the White House. And they have flipped the script, and now they're making Trump to look like the bad guy. And everything that they did, this wicked group over there, I got to be careful what I say, they're blaming it on him. All the while, we're trying to topple worldwide governments. We've got nothing but a bunch of liars in Congress. They're fixing to put some more bad people up on the Supreme Court bench, sadly. And what's going to stop the madness, or at least slow it down a little bit? I think Putin. You know what?
Well,
he's got nuclear weapons.
Let's take some real current news and tell you how it's going to happen. Putin, about a week and a half ago, announced, we're now only going to sell our oil and natural gas, of which Europe, Western Europe, relies a lot on it.
Yes.
We're going to sell it only if you get rubles, Russian rubles. So now everybody has to go to the Russian Central Bank, trade their euros in, and get rubles if they want gas. Well, you know, Klaus Schwab said, big deal, we're not doing that. Screw you. So, come Friday night, what did Russia do? He cut off the supply of gas.
Mm-hmm.
Right now,
exactly.
Germany is going crazy. And I don't know about the other countries. Hungary is having a big national election. And their leader of 12 years, Schwab, is trying to upend him by putting up a coalition of five parties.
I just got the latest news on that, and he swept the entire election.
Excellent.
Overwhelmingly.
So that's a sign to come, because if you remember, Hungary's prime minister actually put out an arrest warrant on George Soros. If George Soros ever steps foot in Hungary, he will be arrested.
He needs to go
and tried for treason.
Wicked man. I mean, we got a wicked mm-hmm. cabal, which is busting all of our balls. You know, look at the price of gas. Yeah. This doesn't need to happen. We need to uncap the Prudhoe Bay reserves. We got enough fuel alone there to take care of America's needs for another 100 years.
But not only that, in North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, there is another reservoir of oil that we don't even need to touch Prudhoe Bay. We can give that to the Japanese and keep them on our side. And we can use it as bait to keep China on our side. But no, we start playing with dancing with Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum.
Yes.
And the Bilderbergers, China, Japan, they're not so interested.
That's who I'm against. When I say I'm rooting for Putin, I am against the World Economic Forum and everything they stand for. And they're pulling together thinking they're going to threaten Russia. We got congressmen saying we're going to destroy the ruble. Have these guys lost their minds? That supersonic missile can be fired off shore in international waters and take out our power grid in about 2 minutes flat. We can't do anything to stop it. Henry Groover saw it happening. Ultimately, it does happen. But Russia's not anyone to threaten. I would be dropping some neutron bombs in there before I would pull up. The bottom line here is we think that we can throttle the bear. I think we got another thing coming. Doesn't the scripture say the bear goes out and takes much flesh and has a couple ribs in its mouth?
Yes.
What if God himself has put a hook in the jaw of Russia and God is behind this? Who are we to fight against God? I hate the New World Order and everything it stands for, and so I hope Putin kicks him in the ball sack and makes him throttle back for a while. Back to you.
Yes, that's well said.
Well,
now,
that's
sort
of, because he's represented by the kings of the East.
Yeah, now, look, draw back a little bit and look at the overall world situation. We've got the New World Order hell-bent to go, and we've got Putin in the mix. What appears to be, if you start reading the scriptures with the second, third, and fourth seal, you've got the red horse, you've got the black horse, and you've got the pale horse. Every one of those things deals with war and the elimination of peace around the world. And so you've got that particular scenario, and it also says that one quarter of the population of the world is killed, of mankind. Well, we are close to right now, mathematically it makes it easy, 8 billion people. Well, one quarter of 8 billion people is 2 billion people.
That's
you
a
go
lot
on
of people.
Up to, that is, and you go on up to chapter 9, and you have the celestial bodies hitting the earth, as well as the other plagues, and you have a further one-third of the remaining portion. Well, now, if you take one-third of the remainder, that's again two-thirds.
One-third is is 2 million. So you're losing half the world's population in one fell swoop.
That's right. In just those two judgments, and you still haven't got to the plagues yet. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is it's more than that, because when you get to the plagues, the final outcome of the pollution of the ocean is there is no living thing left, zero fish. It says so, right there in the plague. And so we go from one-third all the way down to zero at the final end. Now, when you look at what the scenario is with that, you can see that the One World Order and the attempt to prepare all of this is a preparation for the way of the mark of the beast. This is a preparation phase that we're looking at. War will interrupt that. It will, in one hand, it will interrupt the way it's going to happen. It may actually accelerate it in the end because you will have chaos and this one charismatic leader of the world. He's not a leader of a nation. He is the leader of the world. That system comes into play. And to to give you an idea, the scenario of every detail that's being planned and tracked to allow this one world beast system to come into play is still marching forward. My little island right here today just received the announced information that in 1 month, the entire island will be off of the cash system and everyone will have to use a credit card to pay their utility bills, to purchase anything. And I laugh at that. More than 50% of the population doesn't even have a bank account and doesn't know what a credit card is. How do you think they're going to pull that off? And the from a population that is extremely individualistic and paying attention to the scriptures. The prime minister has not been able to get more than 38% of the total population to agree to the vaccine. He can't get beyond that, because the population, although they may not know much about finances, does know their Bible. So that's going to be a toothpick
in
his throat.
It'll be interesting to see how they're going to overcome that, because it's pretty clear he's taken his orders straight from Klaus Schwab.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, Bill Gates has visited him twice here.
Really?
From what I understand. Mm-hmm.
It's too bad next time he doesn't show up, you don't go get some pictures.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it. The New World Order is moving forward with their plan. They're not throttling back. They're not going to quit. They're fully expecting to be able to carry everything out that they want, that the Great Reset entails. You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy about it. Just this month, finally after 2 years here in Bali, flights begin to open up again. You can fly in now, but they assume that you have received the thing in your arm, not one but two, and without that, you can't fly in. So we're still grounded, as I told Tom Mack earlier today, can't leave the island, and unless we want to bow to the mandate, which we're not about to do, and thank God, though, some good news. There are some nations which are saying, you know what? We're no longer requiring that. You don't need any of that to get in. There's actually a few. Not as many as there should be, but there are some that are bucking the system, while there are others that are fully expecting for it to go to the next level. You know, and I do believe that they're going to, the New World Order group, they're going to hit the currency. That's probably what's coming next after the high price of gas.
Well, the trouble is, you know, Putin's hitting it for them. And the trouble is, if the dollar collapses as the world currency, which I fully expect it will now.
Yeah.
Because it can't support Europe, it can't support Africa. And suddenly we're going to have the ruble as the world currency. And when that happens, our dollar is going to collapse. And it was starting to drop today.
Exactly.
People are already,
and you know,
getting things out. In fact,
guess what the nation does when it starts to lose its authority and its power through its finances?
They go to
it
war.
It goes to war.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's what Hitler had to do.
Isn't it interesting that we're the ones saying, oh, watch out for Putin. He might unleash some biological weapon in Ukraine?
That's because they're the one that's going to do it.
Right. We got the bio labs. Come on. We've been caught red-handed, the New World Order. And I don't have it all figured out. I've got a lot of questions. I'm still scratching my head trying to understand it all. Clearly, we're working with China, but China, I think, has alliances with Russia. I don't have all the facts. I don't guess anybody does.
But, well, the big thing with China is, you know, it's like my father warned me. He said that when you get to the Asian mind, remember, he can look you in the eye and spit in your face. You can't ever quite trust him. Now, that's a little bit, how would you call it? It's a little bit racist to say that. But then on the other hand, that's how China deals with people. When it's to their interest, they'll follow their agreements. Sure. But once you are not in their interest, they will abandon you.
I believe that to be
true. Well, the other thing, too, one of the things you can count on, as far as the East is concerned, is if you have offended them, they will harbor that eternally. They will not let it go. You have an enemy for life if you have offended them. I found that out in living in the Asian community there for Southeast Asia. So beware.
And I got a feeling these are people in the government have offended them for a long time.
Let me throw something interesting into the mix. You're familiar with the G20.
Well,
yes.
Where I live, Indonesia, Jacoby, who's the president of Indonesia, he's now the head of the G20. It fell on him to take his turn. And they're going to have the G20 meeting right here on this island of Bali. I just found out about it yesterday, confirmed. And Putin is probably coming to Bali. So far, he hasn't backed out of it. But I guess Biden's coming over here. Everybody's come over to Bali. What the hell's going on? I figure they're going to really tighten the grip over here on us before the meeting here in a few months.
Yes.
Already. Wow. Trying to get into some places, they require you to scan the QR code again. So we're back to not being able to get into some places. And, of course, the malls have been shut down to us for some time. You can't get in without the thing. But very interesting where Indonesia is going to sit in all this. You know, so far it's kind of remaining neutral, and I would too. But I wouldn't want to make Russia my enemy. And, you know, like him or hate him, Putin, he is what you see. I think that he's as straight up as anybody out there. Not so much can be said for some of our leaders in the West. They can be bought out. They can be manipulated. What do you think about that congressman that was sleeping with Feng Feng, the Chinese double agent? By the way, since our last program, did you all see the footage of that 767, I think it was, that Chinese spy Feng Feng, who was sleeping her way around San Francisco? She was on board that, and that aircraft took a nosedive and went down at like 3,000 feet per second, they said, something like that. I mean, did you see the footage?
No, I haven't yet.
Who Feng Feng is? If y'all haven't heard of Feng Feng, you need to look this up. She was sleeping with, I think, Swalwell, one of the congressmen out there in California. And the Chinese government had their operative, and she was sleeping around with a number of those in politics out there in California. And she made a statement on her Facebook that she's back, and she has a lot of secrets. And the word is they assassinated her in quick order before she could open her mouth. And she was on an aircraft, a Boeing 767, and it crashed over there, and somebody shot the footage of it on a camera, and you see this aircraft take a literal nosedive and go right into the ground and just explode.
You know what? There's a chip that's a kill switch. Every airline has it, and it is remotely controlled.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I got a feeling they got to the Global Hawk system and took that plane over.
There was a message sent for sure. And you know, who was it? Feinstein had that driver for 20 years who was a Chinese operative in California.
And she knew
exposed.
It.
Oh, and listen.
Well, that's why she suddenly couldn't run for the Senate anymore.
We've got a bunch of corrupt politicians, and this guy admitted to sleeping with Feng Feng. But the scary part was watching the footage. You all looked that up on YouTube, and it was caught by Chinese, I guess, CCTV. They've got cameras everywhere over there. They saw the thing as it went straight down like a missile.
Yes.
Right
yes.
into the ground. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're even going to find any body parts. What's left? Chunks?
Probably not.
A Feng Feng?
Yeah.
Well, it just goes to show you, the intelligence communities can do whatever they want to do, it seems. Well, we're about out of time. We've got 2 minutes. Gentlemen, it's so exciting to be back with you. And I want you to give out your contact information. How do people reach you and your websites?
Well, this is Major Tom Baird, and you can reach mine at aliveontheedge.com, which is also the title of my first book. By the way, the second book, The Sharp Edge of Sharp Edge of the Sword, also tells you of a recent, I think it was 2017, Tom, that we published that. It was in the same
yes.
year that we published that the Lord gave me a horrible nightmare prophetic dream, terrifying dream. I saw this 747 and the entire from the wing root forward, the entire part of the aircraft, the fuselage was gone. There was nothing there. The aircraft was still circling, still flying, and it made one last large circle as it came around on its final circuit right over, dead set over me. It crashed. We had it represented, and I knew it at the time, the airplane represented the United States. The lack of any control and any leadership of it was the loss of the entire front end.
10
no cockpit,
seconds.
Nothing. And so what do we see now? We see a leaderless government right now, and it's circling to crash. Anyway, the other thing that you can reach me on is my email, which is tom@aliveontheedge.com. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, and another thing that we have, my website is whitestonefoundation.org, but the one probably most of you, it's had a little problem, but we got it fixed finally. Is BibleCodes.co. And I've been putting up new stuff here almost every day, and tonight I should have another one up. I'm finding out that some of these old movie serials were sending a message.
Predictive programming.
And but the problem is we've never known what that prediction was. But the Bible Codes know.
What is that website?
So Bible Codes. And we'll talk about that another time, since your time's short. Maybe we need to have a show just to do some of these Bible codes.
We'll do it. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming on tonight. God bless you. What do you want to title the broadcast for the archive?
Current Events 101.
Love you both. See you next time, gentlemen. Thank you for coming on.
See you next week.
Thank you.
God bless you. Yes.
Folks, stand by as we set up for our next program. If you're on Blog Talk, stand by a minute. I've got to reset that. We'll be right back.
Thank you for using Blog Talk.